Hi everybody, well here goes my first trial at making a tape while showing slides. I'd like to explain a few things before the first slides. First you'll notice that these are extremely small slides. They're only a quarter frame. That's the type of film that the Minolta camera uses. I imagine you'll have to get the projector a long ways back in order to blow up the picture large enough to be able to see them clearly. Either that or get some type of lens which will magnify it several times. Anyway, I thought you'd enjoy them, and they're quite a bit cheaper than taking the regular type slides, so we'll try them out and see how it works for a while. I'm not real sure how they'll work with a projector. I think they'll just be a little smaller than usual, so. By the way, Joe, don't bother putting these mount things in any of our holders, because I'm not sure if we want to do that on a permanent basis with these small slides or not. Just leave them loose if you would, please. I'm not sure that these little slides are worth the extra money that it costs to mount them, so we'll decide what to do with them later. I would advise you to have your remote control handy so that you can stop this tape every once in a while, because you'll want to stop it while you're changing slides, and it's going to be hard to match them up exactly, but I'll try and just tell you when to change to the next slide, and then you can stop my tape until you get the next slide set up and perhaps look at it for a minute or so. Then start the tape and I'll explain it. Okay, well, I guess we're ready now. I'll start with slide number one. This slide was taken at Conjuan, which we called Happy Valley, and you'll notice the mountains in the background there. In the foreground, you have what's called a CP-type tent. This is the type that I lived in. And in front of the tent, you'll notice some little mountain-eyed people sitting there. And these are people that have been working around the camp. They cut grass and fill sandbags, a lot of little oddball jobs like that. Also, you'll notice a row of sandbags that are in front of the tent there. Of course, all this sandbagging is to protect us from mortar attacks. Okay, slide number two. This slide is a picture of an Australian shower that I was telling you about. You'll notice the water bag holds about 2 or 3 gallons of water. It's got a little sprinkle nozzle on it, and you just unscrew the nozzle to start the water sprinkling. And you'll notice that the side there is a 5-gallon water can. That's what we fill it up with. Cold, but it works very adequately. And this was also taken at Conjuan. Slide number three. This is a picture of a 155mm howitzer, which the Army calls the King of Battle. Actually, all artillery is referred to as the King of Battle, but this is our largest field-type piece, and it is the one that makes the big boom that I've been telling you about. It's a very accurate weapon, and really puts out a lot of firepower. They usually have these in batteries of 6 located at any one site. They have 6 of these. This was also taken at Conjuan, by the way. Slide number 4. This is another picture of the 155 howitzer. You'll notice that the considerable sandbagging that behind there around the tents and stuff, and this was also taken at Conjuan. This gun is mounted. It's on a kind of a hydraulic stand, and the wheels are off the ground when the gun fires. The recoil is absorbed through a spring mechanism there right behind the barrel. And also you notice that it has some braces that are dug into the ground behind it. This gun has a lot of kick, as you can well imagine. Even more than your old 12-gauge shotgun, Dad. Slide number 5. This was taken down at Natrang, and is a picture of a bunch of gasoline trucks lined up on the ramp there. In the foreground, you've got a bunch of corrugated steel. This is used extensively over here for roofing. In fact, most of the Vietnamese homes have this type of roofing, this metal. It's very hot and doesn't seem very practical, but I suppose in the rainy season, it probably does seem practical. I'd like to point out here, you'll notice that this particular slide has a yellowish tint to it. When I got the camera, I also got 2 or 3 filters for it. And I used them before I had a chance to get home and read what they were all about. And I had always thought the yellow filter was for to filter out haze, but it isn't. It's actually just to use when you have extremely bright, glaring conditions. Anyway, it didn't give me the effect I wanted, and I've got several slides that will have this yellowish haze to it, tint to it, and I don't plan to use it much in the future. I've got another filter that actually does work for haze. It's an ultraviolet type filter. Anyway, I just thought I'd explain why everything looked kind of yellow there. Slide number 6. This is a long distance view of Nha Trang Air Base. You'll notice all of the extensive building in the area, which belongs both to the Army and the Air Force. And you can see the bay curving away there also. Slide number 7. This is an area up to the north of Nha Trang along the coast there. You'll notice that I'd like to point out this is a typical book stretch of beach and coastline there. Actually, you can't see the beach very well in this picture, but you can see some of the, what we call the alluvial plain. It's the main rice-producing area. It's extremely flat, and along this part of the coast, it's a very narrow band of land of anywhere from 5 to 10, maybe even 15 miles wide that runs up and down the coast. It's not like the delta where all of it is as level as this particular narrow band is up here, but it is very flat, just a very few feet above sea level, and this is where they take the water from the rivers that are draining down out of the mountains and flood this area and grow their rice. Slide number 8. This is another picture of the rice paddy area. You'll notice that it's a very irregular pattern. There's not a lot of square geometrical patterns like we have in the States. It just seems that in a rather haphazard manner, they figured out that this is going to be a field, and this is going to be a field, and they just end up with a bunch of little patchwork fields all over the place. Apparently, it's just a matter of how they can make their drainage work the easiest. You'll also notice the small creeks that are working down through here. Now this particular area, the rice harvest is over, and this area is all dried out now because the dry season has started. And the new crop hasn't been planted, and this area hasn't been flooded out yet. Slide number 9. This is a picture of a 1E, of course, taken at Nha Trang Air Base. Now this base is fairly modern, and so this is all a paved type of section where we park the aircraft, which is actually rather unusual in this country. You'll notice in the far left background there the Takan and the mountains that are about 25 miles away in the background. Slide number 10. This is a picture of Cameron Bay, the air base. And Cameron Bay tends to be all-inclusive because the Marines and Navy have facilities there also. But this is Cameron Air Base. A lot of my old students are here now flying F-4s. This is one of the largest bases in the country, also one of the newest. And it contains two or three squadrons of, squadrons of F-4s. And they also have B-57s here, and several other aircraft. I'm not sure just what all they have. You'll notice these runways are cut right out of the sand. This whole little peninsula up here where this is built is sticking out into the sand, and they have quite a bit of trouble with the wind drifting sand across these runways. In fact, sometimes the pilots aren't sure whether they're landing on the runway or the taxiways. They have a little visibility problem, and most of the guys up there don't like Cameron too well because of the sand problem. The harbor, though, is one of the best natural harbors in the world, and it has become one of the main places for leaping off for R&R also. This has helped relieve the load from the Tonsonute Air Base. So everybody in 1 and 2 Corps now are leaving from Cameron when they go home and when they go for R&Rs. So we have a lot of commercial traffic in this runway also. Slide number 11. This is another picture of Cameron Bay. does show some of the housing area and extensive building that is going on in that area. The ocean is at the top of the picture, and the bay, which is, reminds me a little bit of the way San Francisco Bay works, the way it sort of curls back into the and makes a kind of a peninsula. Well, it's somewhat like that, and that is the Bay Area itself. Slide number 12. This is another picture of Cameron Bay. This shows the main parking ramp and the end of the runways. You'll notice that if you land short, you're going to land in the water because these runways run right out to the edge of the ocean itself. That keeps you on your toes. Slide 13. Another shot of Cameron Bay, this one from a little more distance. And it shows you just how large the complex is there at Cameron. It takes a considerable time to drive anywhere on the base, I've been told, although I haven't been there myself. I understand that things are miles and miles apart. It takes you forever to get from somewhere to somewhere else. And as usual, we don't have any jeeps available, so we have a transportation problem. Whenever we go into a base other than our own, where we have our own jeeps around, we usually end up hoofing it sometimes for several miles. You get used to it after a while, and as a matter of fact, no one seems to complain about walking again. Slide 14. This is another view of Cameron Bay, and this shows the main bay itself, and you can see the piers that have been built. And in fact, there's a ship that's offloading there now. And this is one of the, like I was telling you, one of the best natural harbors. It's very, very deep. And is, it's, since it's all protected from the sea itself, it makes a real nice place for these large ships to come in and offload. So Cameron is becoming, next to Saigon, the most important harbor in the South Vietnam area. Slide 15. Another view of Cameron Bay. This is further down the peninsula, and this part mainly belongs to the Navy. Again, you can see all the sand that has drifted and been blown up onto the peninsula from many, many ocean storms, I suppose. And the whole peninsula is laced with these little fingers of sand running all over the place. Looks like it's kind of a dirty place to live to me. Slide 16. Now, this was taken up in the mountains just to the north of Zuc Mi and about 25 miles south of Con Chuan up in the mountain country. I suppose the elevation where this was taken was up around 1,000 feet or so. You'll notice the very heavy vegetation. Those trees, all of them are about 150 to 200 feet tall, very large trees, and they grow what looks like right out of rock. All of these mountains around here look like solid granite covered with trees. It doesn't seem like it's possible, but that seems to be the way they grow. I know that a lot of the mountains do have a lot of limestone, though. You'll notice the waterfall there, which was my main object in this picture. If the camera angle looks weird to you, it's because I was in kind of a dive to get this picture. It was up in a little tight mountain valley, and it was a little hard to get in there and get close enough to get a halfway decent picture of it. It was a beautiful waterfall. It's got a drop of about probably 200 feet there. And this is typical of many, many waterfall scenes around the mountains there where we were working in Tukor. As you can see, it's lush, beautiful country. Slide 17. This is another picture of that same waterfall from considerably further out. And it gives you a better perspective, perhaps, of how this thing comes. You'll notice that these streams are completely covered by the trees, and then all of a sudden they just appear out of nowhere during where these rocking formations are. But even as much water as some of these streams carry, they can just completely disappear in the jungle, which makes it difficult called 48 of Faraday, both for navigational purposes and also to see if Charlie has been using the streams for his sampans. Flight 18. This is a picture of a post-napalm strike. The napalm had been put in just a very few minutes before by another one of our folks, and I was in the area, so I thought I'd go down and get a few pictures to show you what napalm looks like after it's hit. You'll notice that you can see part of the fire, although the main ball of fire from napalm disappears rather quickly, and then you have the varying black and white smoke depending on what's burning down there. And then you can decide, as a matter of fact, what you've hit in many cases, because certain things give off different types of smoke. And you can help determine if you've had a secondary explosion just by the color of the smoke sometimes. Again, notice how thick the vegetation is down there. It's just almost impossible to see a person on the ground through that thick of a canopy. Flight 19. This is another picture of that same napalm strike, and this was taken from a little further off. Both of these pictures, incidentally, were taken at an altitude of about 2,000 feet above the ground, if that helps give you a perspective. That bar running across the picture there is the strut, is the wing brace that runs from the fuselage up to the wing, if you're wondering what that is. Slide number 20. This is the final slide. It's a picture of Queen Yuan Air Base, which is further north up the coast. This was taken on our way on the move we made up to I-Corps. And this completes this set of slides. I hope you've enjoyed them. And I'm going to experiment on the other side by taping some at 3 3/4. So when you turn this tape over to play the other side, set it on 3 3/4. I really don't have enough to say to talk of 1 7/8, I don't think, and I thought I'd just experiment with it. So, see you on the other side.